I'm an exchange alumnus.
I'm an exchange alumna.
I'm an exchange alumna.
I'm an exchange alumnus.
I am an exchange alumna.
I'm an exchange alumna.
People, places, and international exchange. Voices of Exchange delivers unforgettable first-person stories from people transformed by international exchange. These exchange alumni share stories of growth, unexpected friendship, and career inspiration from all around the world.
We are
the Voices of Exchange.
We're talking about giving the opportunity to those women to be heard, to make decisions for their home. But how do you believe someone can make a decision for her home if she's not even able to buy food for herself? She depends on someone to have breakfast or to have lunch. She depends on someone to have a piece of soap to wash her clothes with. You cannot ask someone to say no to her husband or to a father who is abusive if that person still depends on them. So my solution to that is, let me empower them, let me help them get a job, get money so they can take care of themselves. And then at the end of the day, they will be able to say no to some of the things we are fighting, like gender-based. They will be able to say, enough is enough. I am not staying in this house anymore. I am leaving because I have enough money to rent a house for me and my kids.
Entrepreneur and alumna of the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program, this week's guest is Olive Michelle Dolsumse. Through her social enterprise, Bekelita, she's working to improve financial literacy among women in the Central African Republic and believes she has no reason to accept failure.
I founded Bekelita in 2015, right after the crisis that hit the country in 2013. At that time, I was working as head of sales and marketing in a hotel. But with the crisis, business was not doing good. So I left the hotel and I was thinking about something I could do by myself to help. And I started my business. But when I started Bekelita, I really wanted to offer services in communication because I have a major in marketing and in communication. So I offer two services, communication services and catering initially. And then little by little, I found myself overwhelmed with people asking me for help, women asking me for to link them to job opportunities, friends asking me to help them find a good fit for helpers. And I was doing it just naturally. I was just trying to help people around me. And it was not a paid service. It was just a help. I was just helping. But it soon became very overwhelming because when things did not work out, both parties will complain and they will, I was at the center of the complaint. So I found myself trying to help both sides. And it took a lot of my time, but I didn't really see it as a business opportunity. So when I went to the USA for the exchange program, I came to realize that I had the opportunity to turn this as a social enterprise. And that's when all started. So when I came back, I decided to capitalize on this opportunity to help people, but to include this as part of my business. So I started training the women before linking them to job opportunities and redefining the way we work together with the women, the customers. I started working on my communication and pricing strategy. And also I searched for help to draft contract. So I will have my customers sign the contract and also my employees signed the contract. And he helped me monitor the relationship between customers and employees. And that's when everything took off. I spend more time working with these women than the marketing. I first started applying for the regional program in Nairobi, but I did not complete the application and I missed the deadline. And a few months later, I received an email announcing the Mandela Washington Fellowship application opening. I was still too busy. Two friends prompted me at that time to apply. One of my friends was also an alumni from Mandela Washington Fellowship. And the other one was the U.S. Public Affairs Officer in CAR at that time. They really prompted me, motivated me to apply. And at some point, I really wanted to give it a try also. So I decided to dedicate like 2-3 days of my life to fill the application and gather all the required documents. That's how I applied to the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. It was my first time in Virginia, and I was really excited because before the fellowship, I studied in the USA. I was at Temple University in Philadelphia. So I know a little bit about Philadelphia. I went to New York. I had a chance to go to Washington, but I've never been to Virginia before the fellowship. So I was really excited. The other thing is, one of my friends from high school were also selected as part of the program, and he was going to be at the same university in Virginia. So I was really, really excited to meet him again after like almost 5 years. It was just awesome to be with different, I would say, people from different backgrounds, from different part of Africa. The part of Africa I know is mostly the Francophone Africa. But some of the people I met there from Namibia, I met people from Zimbabwe. It was my first time to meet people from this part of Africa. So it was just like, it was awesome to me to be part of this journey to get to know all those brilliant people, to learn about what they do in their country and how people are like giving, or I would say, striving so hard to positively impact other people's lives in their environment. The first time I read the profile of the fellows on my campus, I was blown away. I was telling myself, how come? Like, I have the feeling that everyone is doing something valuable. Then I ask myself, what are you doing? And it becomes obvious to me that I was not doing enough. We may all live in different parts of Africa, but at the end of the day, somehow we all face the same challenges, plus or minus. Like, we all have the same, challenges, we all have obstacles. It all depends on the degree of those challenges. But at the end of the day, we all have to go through something. So, and despite all of the challenges people face, they are improving things, life, and they are positively impacting people and bringing hope in their community. So as I say, all of a sudden, I feel like I was not doing enough for my country or for people in my community. And I felt the need to push harder. I felt the need to strive and to overcome. And I felt the need to work on my resilience, to be able to push even when it seems impossible. Because I realize I have no reason to accept the failure and give up, because people also do face worse than my challenges, but they are all successful. So challenges and obstacles are not enough excuse for me not to be better, to do better than what I was doing. There will be able to say, I will not tolerate that you don't send my kids to school. I will pay for it because I have enough money. Let's give them the opportunity to say, when I am sick, I can go to the hospital because I have enough money to pay for the fees, to pay for the medicine, and so forth. So this is my vision. Empower those women so they are able to take responsibility from their own life and from their family. And this is the main goal of everything I'm doing. Of course, it is not easy because I work with uneducated women most of the time. And to get them to that point, it's not easy. But I didn't say I was going to give up. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I just said I need to push harder. So every day I try to come up with new strategy to how to empower those women, how to communicate with them, how to make them understand that what we are doing together is not just about them, but it's also about the kids, the children they are raising today, and the future they want for their children. I have been appointed like some months ago as the chairperson of the female football commission in my country, which is under the Soccer Football Federation Association. So I work with women football players, and this is a new challenge I took on, since female soccer is not very developed here in Car, but those women are really serious. They are very passionate about football, and I feel I need to do something to empower them so they can actually take benefit from their passion, because it's a pity that someone is working so hard in an area and they are not getting the return on investment, because this is a word of man. Soccer is football is a deal of men. I want to change that. I want those women also to be known for what they're doing. I want those women also to benefit, to get a return on their investment. I want them to live from what they're doing. So I want to change the whole face, I will say, of the female soccer here in my country.
If you enjoy Voices of Exchange, then the One Beat podcast could be your next go-to on your playlist. Tune into the first season of the One Beat podcast, a monthly podcast produced by Found Sound Nation with the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, featuring conversations with musicians and artist leaders around the globe as they ask the question at the heart of One Beat's philosophy: how does music and creative collaboration make an impact in the world?
I grew up in a family of six. We are four sisters and two brothers, but my parents are just wonderful people. They raised us there is no difference between my brothers and I and my sisters. My dad is such a gender equality advocate. Like, he will push us. Everything he used to say, you are the only obstacles. The only obstacle between you and your goals. Your goals is you. So no matter what you want to do, it's not about being a woman or being a girl or a boy. It's just being able. Make sure you have the skills required to do it. So this is how I grew up. So to me, it's quite normal that when I decide to do something, I mean, I don't even think of myself as a woman or a man. I just think of myself with a vision. But when I returned back my country in 2012, I was shocked because I realized we are still at that age when some of the things depend on your gender. And I was really shocked. And to me, it was really frustrating. And I wanted to help. It, you know, in my family, people don't do that to me because it's a different set. But with the colleague, when I used to work at the hotel, the colleagues, in some of our conversation, I noticed that. So I was frustrated and I wanted to do something, but it was not, I wouldn't call it advocating for gender equality. No. I just wanted to, again, to help them. I wanted them to know that it's not normal. This is the way other people do it in the world. So maybe they should also see things differently. But when I started my business, I realized this is a serious matter. And if we don't start changing things right now, the future generation will also suffer from this because it goes from education to education. It is in the family. If the mom believe that my daughter cannot do this, only my son can do this, my son can go to school, because they will transfer this to their children and so forth. So I wanted from my part to change this with my employees. That's how I could answer this question. It's not one day I woke up in the morning and I say, me, I am going to advocate for gender equality. It's just that the context, the environment actually pushed me to react and do something to help. It is a life experience, and there is a lot to take from it. Know exactly what you want to take from the program. When you attend the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program, you will meet a bunch of people coming from different backgrounds, different countries. You will hear stories from different people, success stories. And sometimes you get lost. In the midst of all that, you get lost and you get confused. But if you know exactly what you are looking for, then all those stories and those people will help you improve or define better your vision. So yeah, to recap, two things. It's a life experience. Take the most from it.
We would like to thank Olive for sharing her story with us. That's all for today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up with our latest episodes on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to share with your friends. And in the meantime, you can check out alumni.state.gov/voices of exchange for more episodes. As I would say when I lived in Poland, dziękuję bardzo, wszystkiego najlepszego, do następnego razu, which means thank you, all the best, and until next time.